Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic and Yart Show. Stunning and unprecedented news today. Monday morning, Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was raided by the FBI, and the world has flipped on its head over this. So this is Palm Beach, Florida, and the original report comes from Trump himself. Monday evening, he said his Mar-a-Lago estate was, quote, under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. And the FBI, it looks like they're interested in some potentially illegal documents that Trump allegedly has at his house. And so there's this investigation the FBI has underway. And after a president leaves office, he's supposed to relinquish all of his documents. And it seems the FBI, they're claiming they think that Trump took classified documents with him as he left the White House. I said this was unprecedented. There's never been a president or former president to ever be raided like this. Definitely not in their own private home like this. And Trump was not at Mar-a-Lago when it was raided. He was elsewhere. But Monday morning, the FBI, they told Trump's Secret Service team that they had a search warrant for Trump's house looking for these documents. And then, you know, about 30 or so agents showed up and barged into the house. And so they're looking for documents. We're still not sure exactly what type of documents they were looking for, but we do know they are classified, and they were supposed to be sent to the National Archives after the end of his term. And so they had a warrant here, which means a judge needed to sign off on this invasion. And to sign off on a warrant like this, there's supposed to be evidence of one of two things. One, either they need to be relatively confident that they know exactly where this classified information is, or two, they need to be relatively confident that the information is about to be destroyed. And apparently the judge had evidence on what seemed to be one of those, and enough to sign off on a warrant at least. And did this judge actually have the evidence, that this compelling evidence, compelling enough to sign a warrant? And well, we can't say for sure as of right now, but if we use a little intuition, and it seems necessary that we do use this intuition, it seems that this was only done as a political stunt, and that the FBI, they were once a prestigious, feared, and respected government institution. It seemed that they are doing this as just that, just as a cheap political stunt in order to hurt Trump. By the way, this skeptical intuition is not unfounded. Reports are now saying that the judge who signed off on this Mar-a-Lago raid is a former Jeffrey Epstein lawyer and a former Obama donor. So if that helps us see where the judge is coming from. Now, these documents, the FBI that they were looking for, we don't know exactly what they are. We know that they're looking for classified documents, but we do know that this disaster it's linked to an event. Something happened earlier this year. Apparently, Trump had 15 boxes at his house of, you know, documents, mementos, and gifts, and he had to return those. And apparently, he did return those, and apparently included worth some alleged classified documents. Because of that, the archives, they contacted the DOJ, and here now we have the FBI raiding Trump's home. And then we have an interview with Fox News, Trump's son. He said, quote, the purpose of the raid was, from what they said, was because the National Archives wanted to corroborate whether or not Donald Trump had any documents in his possession. And my father has worked so collaboratively with them for months. In fact, The lawyer that's been working on this was totally shocked. He goes, I have such an amazing relationship with these people. And all of the sudden, on no notice, they send 20 cars and 30 agents. Then Trump said, after working and corroborating with the relevant government agency, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. He said such an assault can only take place in third world countries. Sadly, America now has become one of those countries corrupt at a level not seen before. And, you know, I don't know about that, about our corruption at a level not seen before. We defend the murder of over 60 million unborn children. And you yourself, Mr. Trump, you gave Planned Parenthood over $1 billion. So I don't know about that we've never seen corruption at this level. But regardless, I do get his point. And he's right that we are corrupt and that this was wrong. And Trump, he went on to blame Democrats who they don't want him to run for president in 2024 and said the same about people, the same people they want to stop the Republicans from winning in the midterm elections. And to me, it seems obvious that he's right here. He's obviously correct. All these government agencies that were supposed to be apolitical, right? You hear that a lot, apolitical. All those government agencies have, they've ever increasingly become more and more political, right? Who would have thought that, you know, prior to 2019, who would have thought that the CDC would end up being one of the most powerful political arms that various politicians can use? Prior to 2019, who would have thought that? And then, of course, the second Fauci saw an opportunity for power, he took it. And that's a tale as old as time, right? Power corrupts. That was the entire message Tolkien tried to convey in Lord of the Rings, right? Power corrupts. And then we think that we have the DOJ and the FBI, and we somehow think that we can give them the ability to affect elections with stunts like these, and then we expect them not to. I mean, of course, they're going to. Now, is it theoretically possible that the FBI is in the right here? Is it theoretically possible that they are morally justified? And well, yes, it is theoretically possible. In theory, it is possible that this was not done as a political stunt. In theory, that's possible. But to try and convince me of that, and probably to convince you of that, they would need, as Ben Shapiro put it, some bedrock solid reasons, right? Like, oh, I had a feeling in my gut, and, you know, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. And oftentimes with things like this, you need to give people the benefit of the doubt. But with this right here with the FBI, we should not be giving them the benefit of the doubt here. I used to see, you know, right, like as a kid, you see the FBI and you think, oh, that's really cool and prestigious. Oh, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Wow, that's pretty neat. But as I've seen them in action during my adult life, nothing good comes to mind. I don't know if I can recall, you know, I'm sure there's been some good stuff, but in recent memory, I can't recall. I hardly recall anything they've done of value, right? Maybe with Hillary's emails, I remember there was an investigation with her against her right before the 2016 election. And even that, I don't think anything came from that. It was largely ignored. Trump even complained about that when Mar-a-Lago was raided. And he said, you know, oh, Hillary never got in trouble for her email scandal, which is 10 times worse, which, I mean, he's right. And that does seem to indicate that this is a political stunt. But since then, what has the FBI done, right? You know, I can't think of hardly any stories that the FBI were involved in that it didn't look bad for them, right? Can you think of any, right? I remember stories like how they pushed the Russian collusion hoax about Trump, which was completely unfounded. Even Democrats now have given up on that line of attack. I remember stories like how they spied on Tucker Carlson. I remember stories like how they completely ignored Biden and his family's criminal record, especially with his son Hunter. I remember how the pro-lifers in DC who discovered 5 born children in an abortion clinic, this was just several months ago, they discovered of pro-lifers discovered five born children who were murdered. And we're not just talking about abortions. These weren't abortions. There was extremely obvious evidence that five kids were born in an abortion clinic in DC. They were born alive, out of the womb, kicking, screaming, breathing, fighting for life, and then killed. Direct infanticide to rival that of even Kermit Gosnell. And then you have thousands of pro-lifers calling the FBI to perform an investigation. And what did the FBI do there? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. An abortion clinic murdering born children. Murder, according even to the pro-abort radical left, and the FBI did nothing. I remember stories like that. By the way, that evidence for that, the evidence that the pro-lifers found was the babies' bodies. They actually found their bodies discarded just in the trash. They found them, and that was the evidence. It wasn't just, I've got a feeling in my gut. It was hard, concrete evidence. The FBI did not care. I remember the FBI persecuting Project Veritas journalists. I remember stories like Waco, Texas. What a disaster that was, right? Couldn't have handled that much worse. Waco, by the way, was initiated by the ATF even before the FBI got there. And it was initiated as a political stunt to try and not lose their funding after the whole Ruby Ridge situation. And so, quote unquote, apolitical government agencies like the ATF, like the FBI, like the DOJ, political stunts, it's nothing new for them, right? That's a tale as old as time. This is not a new idea that just popped up in their playbook. And they're currently ignoring the drug cartels operating freely in the U.S. They're ignoring the drug crimes on the border. I remember them not investigating a single pedophile associated with Jeffrey Epstein. That is the type of thing of the FBI that I remember when I think about them. The good stuff, if there is any good stuff in there, it doesn't come to the surface when I think back on them. And so, at least when it comes to the court of public opinion, I'm not going to give the FBI the benefit of the doubt on this one. And so I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. And I'm going to use the Enyart classic, the Enyart standard here, to judge the FBI, these politicians and the FBI and the DOJ. And yes, I am calling them politicians. The Enyart standard when it comes to politicians is guilty until proven innocent. And so, as the kids would say, yeah, I'm going to need to see the receipts on that one. Also, by the way, the president, he has the authority to declassify any documents that he wants. If there's any documents that are classified, he can just say, okay, I'm the president. I now have the authority to say these are no longer classified documents. And Trump, he could have very easily done that. And he could have said, oh, these aren't classified, and then taken them with him just scot-free. And so even if he left and the FBI and the DOJ, and they are correct about these documents and that they are classified, and they are correct that Trump forgot to declassify them before taking them with him, they are trying to punish him over just merely a technicality. And it is absurd. And so, yes, as the kids would say, as Ben Shapiro would say, I want some bedrock, solid reasons for this. As the kids would say, I'm going to need to see the receipts on that one. I want to take a look at the warrant, which the judge signed. I want to take a look at the warrant application. I want to see that. And if it's not that bedrock solid evidence, I think it's time that we start calling for the defunding of the FBI. And hey, I'm all for that, right? Defund the FBI. And of course, that's not something I'm just now starting to think about. If you asked me over the past, 10 years, should we defund any government organization, I'm pretty much always going to say yes, we should. Pretty much always. You won't even be able to finish the question, right? Like, hey, Dominic, do you think we should defund them? Yes, we should. We should defund them. And I mean, there's like three things in the government that we should not defund, right? Maybe three. Maybe that's fair. There are very few things in the government that the government should do, right? There's about three things. But for the most part, as a general attitude, yes, let's defund everything, including the FBI, the schools, the welfare programs, the so-called gender reassignment surgeries. By the way, I add so-called in front of that because you can't actually reassign gender. You can't reassign sex. Government handouts, we can defund all of those. Yesterday, I went and I checked the mail, and our ridiculous, disgusting, perverted, evil, vile, abhorrent, pathetic, loser governor, Jared Polis, the wicked man that he is, I got a letter from him with a check in it for almost $1,000. Almost $1,000 from our wicked, evil, disgusting Democrat governor. And can you imagine your governor, how evil he has to be for you to randomly get a check in the mail for almost $1,000? Can you imagine how stupid your governor must be? Can you imagine how idiotic you have to be to send checks out like that out to your people? And for any liberals who might be listening, you might be thinking, why are you mad about that? Why are you mad about all this free money that you're getting? Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You do not deserve to know. If you can't figure out why I would be upset about that, then you should turn off the radio, park your car, do whatever it takes for you to get into some peace and quiet. And don't use Google. Don't use your phone. Don't ask for advice on this. But just really take some time and think, why would conservatives be mad about free money? Just think about that. That'd be a healthy exercise. And just think about it until you figure it out, until you feel very confident that you understand why conservatives are mad about so-called free money. You should just sit down and think about that until you can figure it out. And that's probably about the only good thing you could do right now. But for those of you who are longtime listeners, you already understand why that would make me upset, why that would make me mad. You're part of the brightest audience in the country, after all. But you know that I'm all for defunding all of these horrible government agencies. And by the way, I've seen a few other conservatives saying this, that we need to defund the FBI. And the left, they're giving the dumbest response possible. They're all asking like, oh, but whatever happened to back the blue? Do you not believe that anymore? Do you think we shouldn't back the police anymore? And this is so dumb on a number of levels. First and foremost, the FBI, they're not the police. They themselves say that on their own government website, right? We are not the police. But secondly, and this is such a massive point that conservatives have been pushing for years, and somehow the left, they still don't want to wrap their minds around it, is that we strongly dislike government on a national scale. We much more prefer local governments, local communities, and that's because local communities and local families and local churches, everything local, that is the backbone of our country. And of course, we need central leadership of some kind. But when conservatives are out there saying back the blue, what we're saying, it's actually really obvious what we're saying. And these liberals, they're essentially just pretending to not understand. But what we're saying, you know how when you drive around town and you see police cars and you'll see flashing lights every now and then, and you'll see, you know, cops directing traffic when there's a traffic malfunction, or, you know, you'll read a story in your local news about how some cop stopped the bad guy. When we say back the blue, talking about federal agents, we're talking about those cops, that blue on the most basic fundamental community level. We're talking about locally. And this doesn't mean there shouldn't be any form of central leadership. And by the way, if you want to know what the Bible says about central leadership versus, you know, local leadership and local prosecution, you can go to our website, kgov.com, and click on the store and get Bob Enyart's God's Principles of Government. And it lays it out exactly how the Bible teaches our government should operate and how governments should manage that balance of national leadership with small community government. And it's really fascinating stuff. So go ahead and check that out. Go to kgov.com/store. You could go to kgov.com, click on the store. And that is a really good way to help us stay on the air here, by the way, at kgov.com, and us here at the Dominic Enyart Show. You could also make a donation, purchase a product, sign up for a monthly subscription. All of those things go so far to help us stay on the air. All right, and how much time do we have? Do we have looking at my board op, looking at how much time to see we have. I have about 10 minutes left here. All right, I want us to play a clip here. This is a really sad clip of a crazy lady who wishes something pretty horrible on a child. I'm not sure if this is a recent clip or if this is an older clip that's just now resurfacing and getting some attention. But all right, let's go ahead and let's play this clip.
Well, that's up to them. They can tell me to leave if they want.
I hope your mother gets sick and dies, and your kids too.
I hope your mother gets sick and dies, and your kids too.
I hope your kids do, because they should have a mask on.
You told my kids die.
Just go.
The girl starts crying. She's leaving the store.
You made the little girl cry.
Huh?
You made the little girl cry.
Yeah. They should wear masks.
Well, if they're too young.
No, they're not too young. That one's 12 years old.
I mean, but you shouldn't look at a little girl and tell them that you hope they die.
You know, masks are only for people like me, right? Men, people like me, who think that you're diseased. So they don't want your germs?
By the state of Oaxaca, we're not enforcing. He has kids. All right, we should be thinking about his kids.
His kids are 12 years old. They're going to make him wear them to school for 8 hours.
But that's not your place to judge that. Let him deal with that.
Yeah, so I can get sick and die, and you can die, and these people can die. I work at a hospital. I see people die every day. It's bad. You want to see your father dying? It's not good.
My mom works in the nursing field too.
It's bad.
That's his choice.
No, it's not. I brought DeWine. I'll tell DeWine that Burger King here does not make you wear a mask, and they'll shut you down. Let's go.
Okay. All right. We could go ahead and cut that. Okay. So it looks like this video, it picks up about halfway through an argument between a Karen and what looks like, a nice, normal family. And you've got a dad who looks like he's maybe in his 30s with a daughter. She's maybe 12 years old, and a baby, maybe it's a toddler in his arms. And they're waiting in line to order at this Burger King. And this lady in front of them, she turns around and she sees that they're not wearing masks. And so she starts freaking out, cussing at them. And then we've all seen videos like this 10,000 times before, right? A pro-masker confronts normal people. And you've probably seen that yourself at least once or twice. I had a time recently, actually this was with Doug McBurney. I had a time where one guy, I was not wearing a mask, and a guy threatened to punch me in the face. And so that was the only time I had a threat of physical violence. But point is, if you don't wear a mask, occasionally people will get mad at you. And with this video, I don't know if this is an older video or if it's more recent and it's, or if it's older and it's being resurfaced. I'm not sure exactly when this video was taken. But anyways, this lady in front, she turns around, she sees that they're not wearing masks, freaks out. And in this video, this lady is kind enough to show us her wicked heart on full display. She tells this young girl, who's maybe 12 years old, I don't know, I hope that you get sick and you die. I hope you wind up sick in the hospital and you die. And this is a 12-year-old girl. By the way, these are the same people who've been telling us for years, you know, I don't get the vaccine for me. I'm not getting it for me. I'm getting it for you. I'm getting it because I care so much about you. Oh, and little girl, I hope you get sick and die. I hope you get sick and die. And I'm taking the vaccine for you. And I hope you get sick. And I just care about your health. And I hope you get sick and die. The tolerance of the left, it knows no bounds, right? And so this little girl, she starts crying and she runs out of the Burger King. And you can imagine, right? A 12-year-old girl, you tell her, I hope you get sick and die. That might not be the best thing to do. But this raises a valuable point. And That is that they the left, they really do want you to get sick and die. They aren't being hyperbolic. They aren't saying this just to make you mad. They aren't saying this just to get a reaction out of you. They genuinely hope that you get sick and then you die. That is what they hope. The people who've been saying, you know, oh, we're in this together, they want you to get sick and they want you to die. And this lady here admits it openly. We don't even have to read between the lines anymore. We don't even have to jump to conclusions. They're admitting it openly. They want you to get sick and die. And when you die, you can be sure that they will celebrate. Your death will be like ecstasy for them. I know, I went through it firsthand when my father died, and their so-called compassion and the tolerance that they have over there on the left, they will dance on your grave, they will spit on your tombstone, and they will defile your children even in the grave. Even in the grave. And we are now at the point, at this point, you know, all those middle-of-the-road Republican types and all the good-spirited Christian types, it's time that we stop crediting these people with good intentions. It's time we stop giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's kind of the theme for today's show, right? Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt, you know, people who don't deserve it. And when people tell you who they are, it's okay to believe them sometimes, right? When people tell you who they are, it's okay to believe them. When they show you their true colors, believe them. Not when they're trying to manipulate you, and not when it's a man pretending to be a woman or vice versa. You don't need to believe that. But when they show their wickedness on full display, take it at face value. Take it at face value. And something, I think this was, Michael Knowles was pointing this out on his show a few weeks back. When you're a kid, you know, like a little kid in Sunday school, and you learn about Noah's Ark and Daniel and the Lion's Den and all that, you think it's the good guys and the bad guys, and it's really simple, and it's good versus evil, it's God versus Satan, angels versus demons. And then the older you get, you think, well, maybe it's a little bit more nuanced than that. And, you know, maybe these people, they have good intentions and they want the best for everyone, but we just have a different way of going about it. You know, we're all on the same team, but we just don't see eye to eye with these solutions. And, you know, perhaps maybe you even play around with the idea that morality is relative. And that's the kind of thing you might think about when you're in high school, you're starting to piece the world together. But then you start to grow a little more, and you see more people understand reality better, and you read the Bible more, you read great historical authors and thinkers more, like Thomas Aquinas and Bob Enyart and C.S. Lewis, and you realize, well, wait a second. I was right when I was a little kid. It really was that simple. It really is just God versus Satan, angels versus demons, and it's just good versus evil. You know, and through the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis, he illustrates one of Satan's best strategies for convincing you that it's more complex than that simplicity. One of his best strategies is by putting a cartoonish image of like a red dude in tights with horns and a pitchfork, you know, running around. Because that, you know, that's obviously so cartoonishly fake. That can't be real. But then what do you know? Actually, it is just that simple. It is just God versus Satan. It really is that simple. And that makes sense, right? It's simple. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. Angels versus demons. It's simple. And that's the biblical message, right? And Jesus, right, he loved to teach to children, and his truth is so simple that even a child could understand it. And how wicked the teachings of darkness and how beautiful the teachings of Christ, that they can be understood by even a child. And hey, that's going to do it for me here today on the Dominic Enyart Show. Shout out, by the way, to our new board operator, Brandon. Welcome aboard the Dominic Enyart Show staff. Hey, by the way, if you guys want to help us stay on the air, recommend you go to the website kgov.com, kgov.com. Click on the store, make a donation, purchase a product, sign up for a subscription. Hey, that would go such a long way. Hey, this is Dominic Enyart reminding you guys to do right and risk the consequences.